Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shog, are you going to medicals tomorrow?
No. I'll be. I'm getting ready to do a Stanley Cup final on probably Monday. So I'll be.
Okay. So tell us for you purely selfishly, who are you picking? Because I know it's all going to be about your travel schedule. So
Chicago, New York. No, honestly. I think I am going to pick the New York Rangers just because I've kind of gone with them the whole way, and I think the record. Lundqvist, game sevens, he's going to be lights out. So I think he'd probably go the Rangers. And I have a funny feeling the Blackhawks are going to find a way to squeeze by the Ducks, even though I think the Ducks are probably overall as good or better a team. But I think we're going to have Chicago and New York. You?
Well, yeah, I'd pick the Rangers to start a year, but I'd actually rather have Tampa Bay now. So, but
how come?
I just think Tampa Bay's style of play would be a little more entertaining against the West.
Yeah, they're a little more open, aren't they? And they got some gunners that can really fly. So it'd be pretty interesting to see that offense up against, Anaheim, Tampa Bay would be a pretty fun series to watch, I think.
And I know that I say that, and the Rangers have scored 17 goals in their three of their last four games. So, but overall, who knows, maybe they've learned how to do it. Last year, I just didn't think the Stanley Cup. Now, granted, it was the Kings too, so you didn't have a great excitement level for the Stanley Cup final. The conference finals have been so great. I hope the Stanley Cup can live up to it, because I think it's going to be very hard to match either one of these series.
Yeah, well, I mean, both series going seven games and being, the comebacks that we've seen, the close games that we've seen. Yeah, it'll be tough. Remember a few years ago when it was the Kings and the New Jersey Devils, and just remember what a total bummer that series was. I mean, I covered that one too. It was just kind of, after a decent playoff year and a dominating run by the Kings. So you never know, but it'll be interesting because, the thought process has been that the West is really where the strength is. But now as we're watching these playoffs and looking at these teams, I mean, the Rangers match up really well against whoever they come up against. I mean, I think the Rangers probably would have made out just fine in the West this year.
Yeah, possible. They got great defense and goaltending, that's for sure. And they got decent amount of size throughout their lineup. Looking tonight, Tampa Bay, they're 8. We talk about the stats of the Rangers and Lundqvist in Game 7. The Bolts, they got to be shooting for the first goal. They're 8-0 when they score first.
Oh. Well, yeah, that not just that, but I mean, Lundqvist doesn't allow any goals in Game 7s. I mean, he's less than a goal against per game in Game 7s. That's insane. So, yeah, they need to get the first goal. They need to they can't let Lundqvist get into some crazy zone where he just locks it down. And they need to just fire lots of shots on him, get in front of him, try and make things a little bit tough on him, try and find a way to get an early goal. I mean, they're going to have to score two goals to win the game tonight. They're going to have to. And Lundqvist never lets any in, so in Game 7. So, yeah, they need the first one for that reason, because they're a great team when they score first. But more than anything, get Lundqvist off his game and get this Game 7 ridiculous statistical run that he's on out the window.
Moving to the West, Chicago, Anaheim. You're the Ducks. What do you feel you need to do to match your Game 5 victory? I guess outside of collapsing in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like Corey Crawford's ready to blow. I feel like he's just frustrated. He's had some frustrating moments. The refs are calling some stuff pretty loose around him. I mean, if I'm the Ducks, you got to walk a fine line because you don't want to take penalties and you don't want to put Chicago on the power play. But I'm all up around Crawford and getting in his crease and in his face and just, I mean, he's an annoyed guy. You can tell he's just aggravated and annoyed. So I think it starts with trying to cause issues for him. And really, I mean, the Ducks have a good enough team to get past Chicago. They just have to do their thing and then be consistent for an entire game. I mean, when they bring their best game, they can beat Chicago, but they just have a tough time hanging on to leads and being consistent. Chicago gets that snowball gets, that comeback snowball gets rolling, and it just gets bigger and bigger. And the Ducks have a hard time kind of turning that around. Now, they've shown they can come back too, but this Chicago team is not going to go quietly into the night. They're filled with veteran players, guys that have been there before, and no matter what the score is, they're going to be in that game. So the Ducks just need to not waver. They just need to play their game and not waver, because their game is probably good enough to beat Chicago.
Yeah, I think you're right. I definitely think it is. And you, in game sevens, you always wonder about the experience factor. And I know that Getzlaff and Perry have been there, but the rest of the Ducks compared to the rest of the Hawks, the Hawks clearly have experience on their side.
Well, how about a young D-core, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the D-core in Anaheim, and you've got some really young guys that haven't necessarily been, on this kind of a stage yet. And a few of them that have been in some tight series, but not necessarily on this type of a stage. And what will those forwards from Chicago coming at them do? That'll be really interesting, because as good as Anaheim's defense is, it's pretty young still. Then you look over at the other end and you've got Keith, you got Seabrook, and you got Oduya, and you got Jalmerson, and you got these guys that are 30 or pushing 30 plus that have been through the battles, and they're champions. So that's the really interesting thing to me. And the other thing too is Frederik Andersen, right? Like, he's shown himself to be brilliant, but he's shown himself to be that he can be prone to the tough goal too now and then. And I know all goalies are going to let some of those in, but he's not going to be able to do that against Chicago. He's going to have to lock it down and be really, really good. And he's kind of shown himself to be a little bit vulnerable to the bad goal here and there.
Sugar, the CFL season is upon us, officially going on Saturday with medicals, and then the teams get on the field on Sunday. There's kind of an awkward start, especially with Toronto starting their home game in Fort McMurray. What's your expectations of the Edmonton Eskimos this season?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And you know what? And I'll kind of be the first to admit we've been so immersed in hockey that really digging down and getting a sense for the lineup and what it's going to look like. And I mean, I think the core of the team is essentially in a lot of ways the same. And so you can kind of judge based on that. But I would say I expect the team to, you know, have an equally as good a record as they did last year, if not better, and maybe push to take the West. I think that with another year with this head coach, the familiarity, that core group together, I see their curve going up. I don't see them taking a step back. 12-6 is it's a decent season. It's a good season, especially where they were coming from. But I don't think they'll take a step backwards. Do you see any way they take a step back?
As long as they don't have a major injury, no. I think Edmonton's a team. It's going to be hard, really. I honestly think the rule change has made it so unpredictable to see how, like, is this just going to go past crazy in the CFL? And if you don't have any DBs who can cover without taking penalties, you might be screwed. Like, it might suddenly be every game's going to be that offensive. We'll see, because it's always been a passing league. And I think this might entice teams to pass the ball even more. Like, especially if you're Mike Riley and you've got a quarterback, or you're the Eskimos, you got a quarterback who can roll out. By the time he rolls out of the pocket, Ryan, every guy's passed 5 yards, every receiver. So now you've got and you can't bump them. You would think you got major advantage for the receivers. And I wonder if we will see more rollouts from Mike Riley. I'm very curious, and he's coming up at 5:00. So I'm very curious to see how different the offense might be now with that new rule in place.
Well, and I wonder too, I mean, if you are Mike Riley and you're looking at these rule changes and looking at the way it's going to change things, if you maybe not prepared differently, but if mentally you're in a little bit of a different place to craft your game a little bit different, and it plays to Riley's strength. Like, Riley, you know, Riley's willing to run, and the guy can run the football if he has to. He's not afraid, and he can do some damage with his feet, but he's proven himself to be a pretty adept passer too. So I think that it sets up pretty well for the Eskimos. I mean, for a long time, you know, for a number of years, and I know there's been some improvement, but it's been, when are they going to find that absolute stud of a running back? When are they going to develop the, you know, multiple dimension to their game? Well, with the way these rule changes end up making things look, you can't help but wonder if they aren't set up perfectly with the guy they have in there and his skill set. It could definitely be an advantage for Mike Riley, but I'll be interested to hear what he says about how different he expects it to be, and with that in mind, if he prepared any differently.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. To see how it plays out. And I know you, I don't think you've watched many of the Rush games, so I won't ask you about the Champions Cup because you'd basically just be picking blind, so I won't I won't do that.
Will throw me under that bus
no,
today?
I won't throw you under that one. Quickly.
Yeah, by the way, I have heard, I've heard some of your play-by-play this year on some of those games, and I think it sounds fantastic. You've done a really good job on those games this year.
Oh, thanks. I got a 20th spot for you for that one. I like that. Quickly, New Jersey Devils, who do you think is going to be their head coach?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I might have before, I might have, you might have leaned towards Dan Bylsma, and you think that maybe that connection would be remade again. And are we even hearing much out of there about who's interviewing and who's in the mix? I feel like we haven't heard much out of there.
No, there's, and his name is escaping me right now, and I had it earlier. I was trying to look at, you know, the connect the dots from Pittsburgh's time, right?
Yeah.
And Ray Shero, of course, it was, I was looking back, okay, who did he have in Pittsburgh that maybe he would want to bring over, right? And that's,
yeah.
And when I looked at it, there was the, and I got to look the guy's name because honestly, I'd never heard him before, but their minor league coach in Wilkes-Barre at the time, who Shero supposedly is very high on. That's my guess, and I'll find his name when you answer. But that's my guess after I was trying to play connect the dots because, you know, there's the established coaches all seem to be having jobs right now. I don't see John Tortorella going there. I don't see Mark Crawford going there, right? Like name coaches that don't have jobs. So I'm going to think that maybe New Jersey goes a little bit off the board.
Yeah, and that could well be the case. I mean, Shero has, remember back when he went with Dan Bylsma, he was a little bit off the board a little bit back then, right, to take over a team that had Sidney Crosby and those sorts of guys on there.
So
Guy Boucher potentially could be floating around in that mix, I believe. I don't know if Ted Nolan or, you know, any of those sorts of guys. I don't know if that would necessarily be the right fit. What about Paul McLean? I think they had a pretty good seat for what he did with the Ottawa Senators, you know, when he was coach of the year, was he not? So he's got a pretty good pedigree and a pretty good resume. So that might make some sense.
John Hines, that's his name.
John Hines.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But Guy Boucher is kind of one of those guys who's floating around. His name is floating around out there right now. And he was obviously in the mix a little bit in the Toronto situation before they went the route of Mike Babcock, Buffalo a little bit. So it seems like he's that guy knocking on the door to get back in. But I'll, you know what, I'll take a flyer and I'll say Paul McLean, that I think he's a respected enough coach that has shown what he can do with a team that doesn't have an overabundance of offensive talent, and which you could definitely say that about the New Jersey Devils. The only thing about McLean is he left Ottawa with the reputation of not being a great communicator. He got there and that was kind of his reputation when he took over, and by the time it was all said and done, you had people talking about how you have to communicate with your players more. So if I were a general manager, that would scare me away. But I wonder if maybe he isn't singing a tune of having learned those lessons and understands that he needs to maybe communicate better with his players. But we'll go with him because I think he's one of the most experienced guys that's on the list right now.
Lots of Oilers fans texting in Dallas Eakins because then the Oilers will get a draft pick. So.
Isn't it crazy the amount of draft picks that are being bounced all over? Like,
do you believe
the Penguins get a draft pick?
Yeah.
I mean, Dan Bylsma was in a broadcast booth last year. I saw him in a broadcast booth not too long ago. He's working for, you know, whoever, Fox or whoever, in a broadcast booth. Nowhere near the Pittsburgh Penguins, nowhere near anything they're doing. And yet they have to compensate the Penguins for something. It's just craziness.
Is it your birthday today?
Yeah.
Well, buddy, somebody just texted in. So a happy birthday. I did not know.
Thanks, man.
I'm not on Facebook enough because usually that's how people know everybody's birthday. But.
Yeah. No, I trust me. I'm not insulted. Will and Dusty made a big enough deal of it this morning.
Are you 40?
Saying happy birthday on the post-show. It was ridiculous.
Are you 40?
No, I'm not 40.
41?
I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm not 40 yet.
Well, buddy, you know what? That's really not hard for me to figure out. Let me give me 2 seconds. I will. Ryan Rashog was born in 77, so we'll do the math.
38 this year.
Wow, Bob. You're a young buck. Good for you. Nice. Well, hopefully your back holds out another year. We will chat with you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Okay, bud. Have a great weekend. See ya.
Ryan Rashog from TSN.